Welcome back. It is September 5th. We're hours away from NFL kickoff season, and there is a couple games on the slate in college as well. But obviously, the eyes will be on Denver versus Baltimore. Key intriguing matchup from last year's playoffs that features a lot of key players missing from that. So on both sides of the football. So offense, defense for each team. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. I kind of talked about that game earlier this week during my first podcast. So I'll talk about it a little bit, but not as much from a handicapping standpoint. Hopefully you have your side ready to go and are firm with that. But this point of the week is really about fantasy football and then obviously the weekend's games from a handicapping standpoint. So that's what I'm going to talk about, fantasy football. Everybody has a league now. I can remember 5-10 years ago, I was one of the few that were doing fantasy football out of my buddies. I had to force them to do it. But now everybody talks about their fantasy football team. It kind of gets annoying a little bit, but that's the reality of it. Everyone's going to talk, rant, and rave about their team, who they have, and let them. And we'll see how they do here in a few weeks. But money's involved highly in a lot of these leagues now. And anytime there's money, that's when you can catch somebody vulnerable. So the first topic I want to touch on is your star players. You do not, I mean, if every star player had an amazing week each week, we'd have Eric Dickerson's record being broken every year. We'd have a new record set every year by we have had Drew Brees break Dan Marino's record, but we'd have more phenomenal feats. It's true that the passing game has evolved and quarterbacks have become higher than they used to be as far as a vantage point for fantasy sports. But last year we saw quarterbacks like Matt Stafford dip tremendously, and other quarterbacks even had shaky games too. So you've got to realize fantasy football is about your team, not an individual, just like any sport. So if you're going to have a week, you have to be prepared for a week where your stars may not have that 15-20 point game. They might have an 8 point game, might have a 10 point game. But you need to keep that in perspective, especially the first few weeks of the season. If you're talking with your buddies and you're talking bad about a certain player, it'll get around just like any type of information. And before you know it, somebody's going to try to catch you vulnerable and either submit you a trade offer, the buy high, buy low effect, and try to steal that player away from you. So you want to make sure, don't overreact. I've got a few players that I'm going to talk about for this week that I do recommend sitting as pretty much high star athletes that are big names in the fantasy sports and NFL world. I have the article posted on notjustagame.com, but for those of you that don't like to read, I'll go ahead and touch on a few players that I would like you to sit this week. Probably the biggest stud that I do recommend sitting is Doug Martin, and this all depends on what you have as far as your backfield. Obviously, if you don't have the key components of balance in your running back position, you wouldn't want to do this. But if you drafted strong at the running back position, you can take a chance like this, especially with the Buccaneers. You know, I just think they're going to be a team that sometimes I say preseason isn't everything, but the way they played in the preseason offensively, every single game is something that's going to carry over into the first week or two of the NFL season. I don't think they're going to be a dismal offensive team all year long. As I've said, Josh Freeman should bounce back, but he's not going to be taking as many risks as he used to. Obviously, he wants those interception numbers to come down. And when you're playing with that mental mindset, you're going to be a little bit more tentative as you're dropping back. Even with the receivers he has, you're going to be a little bit more tentative. So a lot more pressure is going to be put on Doug Martin. I think Reg Schiano, he's been the type of coach that likes to run the football at Rutgers and last year. So he's gonna put a lot more pressure on Doug Martin. And I think the New York Jets defense is going to step up the challenge week one. But they've been a pretty much solid unit since Rex Ryan's been there. But one thing I touched on in the article is you've got a lot of new faces on the Jets, whether it be on the defense, whether it be on the offense with a new quarterback, new running back, new tight end, new wide receiver. So whenever you have that type of changeover and you've got a coach that's not in the media's eyes as much as he was in the past, his defensive mentality is going to come back, and that defense is going to feed off of that. That's what he's focusing on, and I think he'll get the job done with this defense this year. His offense probably still going to be atrocious, but if the defense can do what they do, it might be as solid as a team like Arizona last year that won 5 games out of nowhere just because they had that great defense. So I think Doug Martin just struggles week one. They're gonna clog him up. I don't see him getting a touchdown, and I'd say his yardage are tough to come by. He might have one of those type of games where he has 15, 20 carries for 60, 70 yards, which isn't good enough in my eyes to be a fantasy starting back on a week. And like I said, you don't want to overreact to that, because Doug Martin is not going to be a bust all year long. But there's going to be – every player's going to have it, or they're going to have a handful, maybe even 6, 7 games where they're not going to have their best game, but they'll make up for it with a 150-yard game with a couple touchdowns, stuff like that. But you can't expect your star players to have a great week every single week. So that's what I had in the running backs. I also touched on Ronnie Hillman tonight and Isaac Redman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, Pittsburgh's just trying to do what they can until Le'Veon Bell can come out onto the football field, which shouldn't be long. Just they're thinking maybe 2 to 3 weeks. So Redman gets the job. But Tennessee's not a slouch with the run game, and I think Pittsburgh just has too many issues to really field any strength with the running back position right now. You see a lot of Felix Jones and Isaac Redman out there. Wide receiver, Anquan Boldin. And I loved the guy for so many years, but I think he's just taking a beating in Arizona. Everyone remembers that strong hit the Jets put on him. He didn't miss any time with his broken jaw, but he's been one of those strong possession receivers. And everyone wanted to rant and rave on what he did last year for Baltimore, but I saw it more as Joe Flacco being an accurate quarterback and more of timing than anything. As long as Bolden was in the vicinity, Joe Flacco could put it in a small pocket, and Bolden, with his size, could get the ball. But it wasn't like there was separation or anything like that. And you think of his time with Arizona and with Baltimore, he's always had a very good receiver opposite him. People don't want to say Torrey Smith's a very good receiver just yet, but in my eyes, what he's done the past couple of years, one of the best deep ball receivers in football, stretches the field, has separation pretty much any time he wants to get it. So he might not be one you think of as a top 15 receiver automatically at the top of your head, but he's a good receiver. And obviously Larry Fitzgerald, you don't need to say much except his name when it comes to that. But Anquan Boldin, I don't think he can be a number one receiver at his age and the grind that his body has taken. So it's going to be interesting to see what San Francisco does. But Anquan Boldin is the number one receiver. He's not going to pan out. I think that's one of the reasons why they took a chance with Jonathan Baldwin. But I don't think he's ready to step up to that role either. So it's going to be interesting to see how these receivers pan out with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Bolden's going to be... He's going to take a backspin this year. I definitely believe that. So Anquan Boldin, week one, I would go ahead and sit him. Another receiver I mentioned is Akeem Nix against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm big on trends when it comes to wide receivers, trends with injuries. I mean, Akeem Nix had a breakout year a couple seasons ago, was great every single week, and last year's dip was just the opposite. You couldn't tell if he was going to be on the field. It's a game time decision half the time, and the Giants took it easy with him again this preseason. So there's obviously some lingering effects to all those injury woes he had last year, and to expect someone to just be able to step out on the football field with a little time and preparation every single week is just crazy in my mind. I mean, Akeem Nix can probably put up 800 yards with 6 touchdowns, but that's nowhere near where people are projecting him to do this year. So Akeem Nix is going up against the Dallas secondary, who the Giants have torched year after year. And I think that's one of the things the Giants or Cowboys have worked on, is improving that secondary, and that's something we should see this weekend. Obviously, they can't shut everyone down, so they're going to concentrate on one of the two, and I believe that'll be Akeem Nix just because of his limitations right now. Victor Cruz is still in a league of his own on the Giants, but Akeem Nix, I would see if he's one that I would say if he doesn't step it up in the first couple of weeks to seek out a trade, because I really don't see him having a phenomenal year. Another receiver I suggested to sit is T.Y. Hilton. I do like the head coach of Oakland, Dennis Allen. He's got his team hyped up. Even though they don't have the talent necessarily, they're going to be in a lot of games this year, and I believe they'll be in this one this weekend against the Colts. So if you can get that point spread at plus 10, I would go ahead and get it. We've seen it time and time again when there's a new quarterback on the football field. And for some reason or another, no matter how their career pans out, they seem to go out there on the football field and pull out a victory. We've seen it, I'll never forget, when the Cardinals threw out Max Hall against the Saints a couple years ago, and he got a victory. And we've seen it with Vince Young. We've seen it with all these new quarterbacks. We saw it with Bruce Gretkowski as a Buccaneer. We saw it with Sean King. We've seen it with so many different quarterbacks. And I think the Raiders will be in this game, and they're gonna figure out a way to nullify one of the Colts' strengths, and that is T.Y. Hilton. Colts have already, they're going through a revamp phase on offensively. They're not going to throw the ball as much as they did last year with Bruce Arians gone now coaching the Cardinals. So they're going to look to run the football more with Vic Ballard, Ahmad Bradshaw, and the UConn running back, Donald Brown. So they're going to run the ball a lot more. And they're also going to run two tight end sets a lot more with Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener. So that takes away Hilton. Being a third wide receiver takes away a lot of his snaps on the football field. So when he is on the field, teams will be more prepared and geared to shut down the deep ball. Last year, Hilton was a rookie. And coaches are very good at taking away strengths once they see it, especially from a first-year player. So I think T.Y. Hilton's going to have a rough September, and then somehow the Colts will figure out a way to work around the kinks. He's not someone to get rid of, but he's going to be a situational starter at best the first month of September. And quarterbacks, I touched on Josh Freeman. I'll talk about one other, a big name in Cam Newton. You got to have something in preseason from a offensive standpoint, and Cam Newton didn't have that. It just seems like he hits these dips, and he might be in another one to start off this season in 2013. It's definitely not a good matchup for him going against the Seattle Seahawks. He has a very, very strong secondary, so I wouldn't be surprised. We already know Carolina's running game is one of the worst in football, and that just adds more pressure to Cam Newton, the forced throws. And if it does happen early and he throws a couple picks early, it's going to get ugly quick. I don't expect a high yardage amount from Cam, and we already know that teams are able to stop him from running the football as strong as he did a few years ago as well. So I think Cam Newton's one of those guys. He's not a top five fantasy quarterback as people think, and he's right there in the top 10 in my eyes. So he just doesn't have that same value from a pocket passer or some of the other guys in the league do. So I definitely suggest if you have a better option at quarterback, this is another one of those if you have a better option. If you don't, you have to just put him in there, plug him in there. Hopefully he gets you some yards, maybe a short burst touchdown. That's how these type of quarterbacks offset. Just like Tim Tebow did a few years ago as a fantasy threat with no yardage whatsoever. That's it from the sit-em aspect this week. I'm going to have the starters up and plus plenty of other content on notjustagame.com before Sunday, so make sure you check those articles out. And also Twitter, my Twitter feed is pretty active. I'll make sure I continue to post some blurbs on there. You can follow me on Twitter at Simony. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. That's the way a podcast is supposed to be. So I'm going to jump into a handicapping segment right now. These will be free picks that I like to give out every week. I'll post them up on the website, but I'll also give them out on the air. Like I said, for those of you that don't like to read, I'm a big believer in professional football, the lines. You want to study those a lot more. Because there's very, very small edges that you can get in a professional game. But in college football, lines are all over the place. There's a lot of good buys out there. And I'm more of a believer of what you see is what you get in college football. And I'm just going to give out a couple plays here. What I saw last week in UNLV, they're going against Arizona. This week, Arizona's a minus 10.5 right now. And what I saw with UNLV is just a team that, even though they're on the road and they've lost 23 straight, people will probably be a little bit optimistic this week for a possible upset at home against a young Arizona team. I don't see it. They're too. You can't just throw a team out there and expect to run this fast-paced offense if you don't have the talent to do it. And UNLV does not have the talent to do it against Minnesota. They're trying to push the ball with the short throws. And after about four or five series, it just closed up. Teams are going to be able to readjust to that. And if you can't finagle your offense to run the football a little bit or switch it up somehow, you're just at the opponent's mercy. And I think that's how UNLV's offense is right now. And their defense is definitely not going to hold up against a team like Arizona. And just like they did last week against Minnesota, allowing 55 points, a team can't hold up if you don't have the personnel to run that type of offense. And UNLV does not have that. So I think that's the standout, easy play for a favorite on Saturday. And then I'll give a tough game as well. You got to make sure you mix them up or you'll lose left and right. So make sure you do not just pick all favorites, obviously. That's a standard for handicapping. But I want to say Florida at Miami, that game, a lot of people are predicting an upset. And Florida's just one of those teams when they're on the brink of backing down or backing up in the standings, they find a way to get a win. They're going to stay up there. They had a lot of games last year where they could have slipped, like against Vanderbilt and other different teams in the regular season. They're just able to stay alive, and I think they'll do that this weekend against Miami. It really hasn't had a big win in quite a while from the ACC. So it's going to be a tight game, but I think in the end, Florida finds a way to win it, as they usually do. So right now, that line's dipping. I think it's -2.5 right now for Florida. And it's probably not going to go much more than that. But like I said, I think Florida toughs that one out, even though they are the favorite on the road. Slight favorite. So those are my two plays in college football. I'll give one in the NFL, and this one I really, really like. And it is also, it's a road favorite, which you've got to be. Actually, I won't give that play out. If you guys want that one, I'll have some picks up on the website. The play I will give out, as I haven't given out any underdogs, will be the New York Jets +3.5 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Jets are going to handle this offense with Geno Smith appropriately. Their defense, like I said, is going to be there for them on Sunday. And if you have a defense, especially the opening week, if your defense plays strong, it'll keep you in games. Last year we saw the Arizona Cardinals beat the Seattle Seahawks with John Skelton and Kevin Cobb. And I think this year we are going to see Geno Smith get a victory. They'll do a lot of runs. They'll punt the ball a lot. And they're going to find a way to do it with their defense. Hopefully their defense can generate a couple of turnovers, which Josh Freeman has no problems doing. He's very fumble prone and gets rattled quickly with the interceptions. So I think the Jets, if they can keep Geno Smith from creating turnovers, they're going to be in this game. And +3.5 is right around the perfect number, because even if the Buccaneers pull off a victory, I don't think it's going to be more than a field goal. So that half point is to your benefit. But I really think they're going to pull it out. There'll probably be a lot of field goals in this game, maybe only a couple touchdowns between the two teams. But you've got to be able to find those type of games that are the tough ones out there in pro football. And I think that's the one to take this weekend. The Jets +3.5. So there's just a couple plays right around the 20-minute mark now for the podcast, so I'll go ahead and conclude here. First weekend for both college football and professional football. Just make sure if you're out there from a handicapping standpoint, limit your games, limit your plays. Know which plays you want before you go to that sports book or your book online. And make sure you have a game plan. You don't want to be putting in too many second half lines, first quarter lines, all those crazy plays out there. So keep your game plan intact so you can come up with a profit on Monday. And, of course, I can help you get with some wins. Notjustagame.com, only $30 a play. And I'll give you standard plays. Last year I only had 1 week out of the whole season in college football that I had a losing record. And I'm going to carry that over to this year. So I'm getting my college plays and my NFL plays. From a fantasy sports standpoint, just go with what you have. Hopefully you didn't get into too many fantasy football drafts, but Don't be too fidgety with your lineup, because that's where you're going to make a mistake and regret it, and then just tailspins the rest of the season. So put your key players in, have your three or four players that you're thinking about, either for a flex, tight end, or wide receiver three, and go from there. But make the right decisions. And obviously, if you have any questions, feel free to submit me at Simony on Twitter. Thank you.